And good afternoon. This is Lynn Alive. I'm so glad that I'm alive. And with this, I like very much to welcome very lively BBS. And since I have a tremendous privilege today being just as a single host, I'd like to say a few words about BBS Radio. There are issues in life which we're facing every day, and there are moments which we don't expect. And I think I found this wonderful moment to be so thankful because I found BBS. That was my moment of true treasure. And something else, when you make those cold calls, as we say, meaning that you call and you don't know what to expect, and you get not only live voice from the stranger, not only someone who immediately kicks in to your interest, actually your personality, you feel so comfortable. It's such a rare privilege to feel comfortable with the cold calls. It became very warm cold. And warm cold, that's somewhat a little philosophical perversion, I would say. But believe it or not, I found this. You can find a lot of wonderful, unpredictable things with BBS Radio, with their people, with their creativity, and via rare quality. They are doing their job way beyond just money. You feel vibration of their soul and true understanding of their host. And some of those hosts are incredibly crazy. I would not take myself out of the list. And I also would say that, needless to say, that my accent somewhat tickling and I'm not sure in the best places. But with all of that, I was so welcomed that I couldn't resist to be a host. Now, why I'm doing such an overture? Well, because I have a privilege of airtime today. And the little secret is that, frankly, I was supposed to have a very talented group of young musicians. And it happened to be that they'd been, I guess, invited to some kind of very, very prestigious performance, and they could not make the program. So I'm not sure whether it will be rescheduled or not, but I'll be very honest, I'm not prepared for this program. So you will have raw Lena life, whether you like it or not. So the other great news is that even though I'm not prepared for the program, but my friends are, because I have wonderful company here at my studio, which consists of one very special friend whom I love very dearly. She's like a family to me and to my son, and her name is Jane Kasoff, who is a singer, who is an artist. And on the top of that, she's a very good person, very rare combination between being an artist and a good person. In addition to that, she has a very charming husband who has his own sets of gifts, and he's joined us in, I guess, at some point. And in this company, I'm totally improvising my show. And my improvisation will be just as kaleidoscopic as human fantasy can reach. The best news is that we will have, again, music. And this time I'm going to talk a little bit about the composer, whom I kept somewhat a little bit in the dark, not very fairly, but honoring his modesty and at the same time honoring his gift. Some people feel he's genius. I would not use this word so loosely. And I also honor perception of my audience and some other people who indeed enjoyed his music very, very much on the different levels. The genre of his creations are well spread out, and the fact that he is a classical musician, I guess, brings another dimension to his creativity, because he spread out his wings into the modern forms, modern sounds, modern ideas, and even electronic sound. That was a huge challenge. Well, to break the suspense, I will say his name, and you heard his name before. His name is Julian Lampert. In fact, I will say, I'm not sure whether I am not in a very strong competition, because he gets much more testimonials sometimes because of his music than myself. So I'm enjoying this competition because it's a creative harmony, which I hope we're achieving in every program we have. I like to introduce one of his pieces, not only to prove my point, but to open another little door to the kaleidoscopic woods of this improvisational program. Here is Julian Lampert with his music. Just a little secret about this composition. It's hard to believe, but it was played just by one person. But the method of the recording actually was very unique, because the same simultaneous process took place where piece for two hands was combined with another counterpoint written for another two hands. So if my arithmetic is okay, there are four hands, but indeed it's been played only by two hands. So we welcome electronic here, but I don't feel that electronic interfere with very natural, magnificent nature of the sound of the piano. And that will bring me to another totally unrelated on the surface, but hopefully related in a deeper level to our human issues. It's not a secret that we're living in extremely difficult times. Composer Johann Sebastian Bach wrote many fugues, and a fugue is one of the most complex musical form where one theme is a subject of polyphony for another themes. Sounds very technical, but to put it in our everyday life, it means that every day one person has to attend so many tasks, and sometimes we are just so exhausted. We don't know where to catch the breath. And of course, coupled with economy, with our modern world of challenges, it is so overwhelming. I find that the combination of our internal history, and yes, I would say internal history because we inherited in ourselves all these thousands of human experiences, and we're carrying all of this enormous baggage in our mind, in our souls. And funny thing is that it is not enough to deal with a modern reality. We still have to learn. We still have to overcome. We still have to do this balance. We have to find moment for contemplation and meditation. We have enormous amount of people, in fact, in a beautiful BBS radio, who are expressing their skill and knowledge in meditation. We have some philosophers who are trying to find some other avenues to get us to the point of some resolution where conflicts somehow will find its peace. It is certainly not something which you can resolve on a moment or even hourly demand. I'm talking about this abstract expression qualities which we are facing every day. I would say at some point it sounds a little bizarre, but I believe that music actually becoming much more concrete to us than an abstract form of expression, because it gives us immediate physical pleasure, immediate physical comfort. Some people even feel that it is strongly, deeply therapeutic moments. I feel that Julian Lampert gives us those moments so generously. So let's hear his another piece, which I would immediately entitle as a Moments of Connections. Thank you. And that was Connections of the Moments. If I will talk about the jazz music just for a second, and I will talk about number of other samples inside of jazz music or classical music, I would say that this is definitely part of our life, and I'm not saying anything new. But then when I will go into some technical aspects of it, what one will like more or less. Beautiful words of Duke Ellington, who said, it is all music. And I would say it is all life. I would connect to another multicultural idea, because we are faced now with so many collisions, so many cultural tensions, where actually computer becoming help and an obstacle as well. It's help because we can communicate so fast. We can communicate around the clock. The telephone ring will not wake up our friends, and yet we can express ourselves. Instead of Facebook, I call it facelift, maybe even soul lift. All these computerized methods of communication is wonderful if it is supported with still human expression, whether it's a sound, whether it's a smell, whether it's a music with a sound, or it's a taste. We love to eat. Thank God for this. We also have things which we are looking and calling as a painting. And that painting has its own tremendous mission. It's a color. It's a vibration of the color. We don't have enough time in our emotions to feel the color. After all, how one can feel the color? Color has to be seen. And yet, everything is very interconnected. If I'm talking about vibrant wild red, I think one would say, well, she's talking about really crazy gypsy. But if I'm talking about melancholy of Debussy, who happened to be a French composer, perhaps that will be appropriate to talk about some sadness, but not enough to ruin us. I happen to have a wonderful inspirational moment here, because indeed my friend Jane Kasoff is a wonderful painter. In fact, this is a living example, which I have privilege to experience because she's my friend, how sometimes she does not recognize herself, the division between her beautiful voice and the colors which she's using in her paintings. I don't think it's a big secret that her singing certainly is addition to her paintings and vice versa. But what's most important thing, that her personality and sensitivity, which she addresses her life, is total product of the beautiful diffusion of her gifts. It just happened that myself and my son are talking about opening an institution where we have this multitask diffusion. Sounds extremely, perhaps, technical again, but it's true, because I'm trying to conquer this separation, which is so great when it's wonderful to compartmentalize our vision, but it is not very great when we separate it as a people. I think it is a time when we need to know a little bit more about our neighbors, and it's not only because we have to be vigilant because of the tragedy of the society facing danger with terrorism or some other new obstacles in our society, but just because we really can contribute to ourselves first and then to others. And I think we're a little bit out of this reaching out. There is certainly excuse. There is certainly overwhelming pressure in everybody's life. And we are obviously not able to put more hours than we have. But we can put a little bit more emotions, a little bit more sensitivity, a little bit more desire, and perhaps a little bit more moments in our everyday life to nourish ourselves. Because beautiful piece of bread with a wonderful glass of wine can taste even better if we are listening to a lovely piece of music, which we're just about to hear. How lovely. It is so lovely that I'm inspired to make absolutely wild parallel. In fact, I'm sure that those great geniuses who are in front of stock market bulletin board will not appreciate what I'm saying. But I will use my creativity and excuse that I'm a musician. The reason I mention this is because I had a little philosophical thought today when I was watching television and, of course, eagerly was waiting for better news about the economy and actually trying to understand these peculiar idiosyncrasies about the very complex economic progressions. But just looking on the screen of the television, it looks so innocent. In fact, it looks very beautiful because you have red triangles, which are set because that's something which goes down. And you have those green triangles, which symbolizing more optimistic progression. And they're crawling very peacefully, enough so whoever makes sense out of it can understand what is going on. Well, I had my own perception, which is so far away from understanding exactly the numbers, some correspondence of those numbers. Frankly, I was very jealous of someone who not only understand and know how to read those symbols, but can make sense and can have a vision of our economy, world economy. And with that, perhaps they don't give themselves enough credit to have a vision of our psychology. Because someone has to play with those numbers. Someone would need to make decisions. And I think one of the very unique quality of our society that the government and individual need to work together more than ever. I'm saying those very serious and quite responsible connection, but that's exactly how I believe. The time of blames are not very profitable, and it has nothing to do with lack of ability to look for the truth. And we can have endless conversation. The profit of the blame, the profit of facing the truth, and the profit of taking profit of facing the truth. So looking at this television screen, I felt that with all the symbols, there are so much behind of them, so much human power, and so much human potentials. And yet, very few of us understand, and very few of us can understand how those, as I said, beautifully graphically addressed symbols relate to real life. Frankly, I think it should be a course in a high school where young generation will be much more prepared for the reality of life. Because personally, I feel those beautiful schools who are only affordable for wealthy one, they call Ivy League schools, not always preparing for the real life. They're nourishing intellect. They give tremendous information for various subjects. But the phenomena is such that it is not enough. Even they cannot give all we need for our modern life because it's so dynamically diverse and time and timing are living together more than ever before. So I like to make somewhat a connection to our, again, everyday life when we are not afraid to touch those foreign symbols on a television, where we brave enough to evaluate intellectually quite, sometimes I would say catastrophically bombarding messages which we get from media or we get from some political sources, and we're trying to come back to ourselves with all this tremendous work of the day. We still sit down on a modest, soft, comfortable, and reliable chair, and we have this piece of bread with the same beautiful glass of wine. And again, let's continue this with another beautiful piece of music of Julian Lambert.
Thank you.
That we have to be a little bit more connected on some simple things. There have been a tradition established in some Eastern European countries when they're trying to create almost like a family museum. It happened that I sadly lost in a very short period of time my parents, my husband, and our absolutely beautiful dog. And I found something which every human being experiencing, going through the pictures, and of course you are reliving those moments, memories. But I found out something that it felt very differently. It's almost like a fog was getting thinner and thinner. I recognized perhaps certain qualities of people I thought I knew, and now I feel I know them even more. I don't want to go into some religious beliefs of another life because I don't feel it is my privilege to enter this very sacred territory of every individual. But what I like to express is again that when we lost someone, we're not only love for what this person were, but we are much more aware. We're much more aware to what extent we want to continue the legacy of this person. Not out of duty, not out of obligation, but because we're realizing to what extent it's important to ourselves, to what extent it gives us power of our own emotions. I guess I'm talking about heritage. So if I will jump and talk about the heritage of the world, I will be happily drowned in this subject. But I think we don't have enough of that heritage. And I will pinpoint some sad moments, but I also promise to be just as optimistic. It's very sad that things like classical music, which happen to be tremendously powerful just for every possible culture. Religion and classical music had such an incredibly harmonious, I would say, understanding between each other. I will confess that I'm coming from strongly atheist country, but my own bringing up as a classical musician was indeed attached to the religion, maybe in a different way than in the Western countries and definitely in the United States. But I had this incredible perfume of the power of the religion, which was such a great inspiration to great composers. I'm talking about this with so much of enthusiasm, and there are millions of people did enjoy it tremendously. And yet, in our modern society, I would say it's almost dissipating. And if one would say why, certainly can give many reasons, but that's not important. The important thing is that we're depriving ourselves from certain aspects of our heritage. So I'm hoping in my own modest rights to bring this back to create this perhaps miniature renaissance, but some substance which was more than enjoyable. It was a root of high standards of human expression. And there are some reasons for that, because one has to face modern modification, evolution, revolution, and classical music has its own challenges. Certainly you need to be educated, and yes, it's a bitter truth, you have to have money to get this education. But even with that, not everyone needs to be extraordinarily gifted performer, but just have to have need, desire, and love for this genre, for this huge world, which is actually absolutely bottomless. So I personally believe, and also having privilege of wonderful friends who sharing my beliefs, that it is going to be a renaissance of classical music. Yes, it's like a spiral development. It will come back on a different level with the different composers, different way of performance, interpretations, with the different dresses on the stage, but it will come back. It just happened that Julian Lampert, who has this very deep classical roots, profited so brilliantly from that, that indeed he has no limits to express himself in this modern world. Maybe he is one of this spiral example who is bringing this classical music on a different level. Let's have another example of his music. I will comment just a little bit about this. Why did I make such a brief comparison? It is sound quite electronic. And at the same time, it is extremely warm. And to be a little bit technical, sorry for being a little bit imposing, but I think music deserves a little bit of evaluation from this professional terminology. The progression of harmony was so incredibly sincere with expression of emotional meaning. And what a wonderful freedom we have, our emotional expression. I will be somewhat perhaps a little corny, but I will take this chance and compare highest form of democracy with the highest form of emotional freedom. But just to justify this, or try to justify this, to earn democracy, one needs to have certain discipline, and part of this discipline is emotional warmth. In other words, if we believe in something, we train to do something, and we love to do what we really have a dream about, then emotions come along with this. They are always with us. They are beautiful friends. Now I will talk a little bit about negative part of this emotional nature and how in the world I connected this with the stock market and a democracy. Well, I will leave philosophers to answer that question, but I will make my own humble connection. We're trying to be as technical as we can, and there is a tremendous gap between our potentials and our duties of everyday life. How many times we would say, I wish I would do that, but yet I only need to do this. And yet this dream is a golden motivation. The dream is something which drives us either to wall or to heaven. And I like to share this thought, maybe a little crashing thought, maybe harsh thought, but I like to share it with this piece of music, which hopefully find this philosophical middle ground. And perhaps I will earn my apology for making these thoughts and putting them so close to each other. I hope music will resolve it. Julian Lampert, On the Air. Comforting piece of music that is. And I will interrupt my monologue again just to be thoughtful to my listeners and say that this program had to be changed in the last minute. I do not want my listeners and my wonderful friends to be confused because it was announced as program with two spot Gobi's ensemble, which in the last minute was invited to give a concert, and we had to change the program. So instead of having an ensemble of seven people, you were having me alone with my monologue. And if I'm not speaking for seven, at least I hope I'm speaking for myself. So my apology and disappointment of that change, but I hope that we will nourish this airtime with graciousness of BBS Radio, and on this note I will go on. I like to talk about patience, because after all, that I think something is so difficult to nourish in our times. Some Saint Augustine says that patience is the companion of wisdom. And no one can really argue with this. But of course, wisdom is having its own key, has its own moment, and its own inspiration. Especially it comes to fruition at our older age, where we're using our wisdom perhaps more than we wanted to use, because we're teaching our children who have to earn their wisdom. So wisdom has this dialectical, beautiful proportion between difficult and easy, between transparent and gloomy. And I would say that at some point, I think wisdom can be beautifully expressed in cooking, because sometimes very simple cooking can be so wise because it takes so little time and it tastes so lovely. I will remind to my listeners one of the program I had in the past with inclusion of edible flowers. This is most eloquent description, I feel, of wisdom of our everyday life. It's tasteful. It's inexpensive. It's low fat. Doesn't require much of a cooking. Beautifully decorated dish, appeal to our eyes, to our smell, to our taste, and here we're going with another lovely piece of music devoted to edible flowers by Julian Lampert.
Thank you.
Wow, that was certainly more than colors, more than one can actually consume of colors. It goes way beyond edible flowers. That was a perfect Latin dish. In fact, it was so incredibly energizing that I have a beautiful energy to continue the program to say that when we contribute to something very expressive, very energetic, something meaningful, not only we feel good about ourselves, obviously, but there is a tremendous inertia, and that's something which we have to appreciate ourselves even more. That inertia is something which goes much deeper beyond our life. It's a transformation of physical into the spiritual. The noble psychic world will know what I'm talking about. And I need to say one wonderful words here by Norman Cousins, who said, if something comes to life in others because of you, then you have made an approach to immortality. And of course, we know that what can be more immortal than music, but there is also performance element to it. Live performance, that's something else I wanted to talk about. We are so much depend upon YouTube, and it's a great thing. My God, what we can find on this YouTube. In fact, with my very minimum computer skill, I have such a overpowering curiosity that YouTube became to me a highway because it's way, way beyond just a tube. I would say that brings back the idea, appreciation, and that tremendous thrill of a live performance. We have this incredible phenomena where people on the stage becoming part of the crowd and a crowd becoming part of the people on the stage. I did a program about American Idol where I felt absolutely thrilled because in fact I was entertaining this idea, how this idea of one for all and all for one are working in our century. I do not believe that any other centuries had this emotional unity between individual and a crowd. Well, again, one of those crazy parallels I've allowed myself to make when I said that the government and individual should, if not understand each other, but should understand where they're coming from better and more sharp in this society than ever. So I would make a parallel with the human performance, with the genre of human expression. But it's not really that far apart because we are the conductors of all these activities. We humans are so well equipped and we are so incredibly challenged at the same time. So maybe God gave us this incredible opportunity of 21st century to go to somewhat limit and to express what we can, what we want, and how we will get it. So if we will talk about electronic world of sound, we certainly can appreciate this, but we have to remember that a live performance, live breathing, this incredible vibration and communication between the stage and this magnificent crowd is irreplaceable. So let me introduce you to another piece of music, which I think represents this beautiful duet between an individual and this inspiring crowd of people. Because crowd consists of individual, and this individual will be feeling quite lonely without this phenomenal crowd. Julian Lambert again helping us to feel that. That was absolutely the orchestra sound, and that was just the piano. In fact, piano is one of those magnificent mini orchestra. But who knows what's a mini and what is the major? It is certainly something which one cannot describe enough. In terms of colors and in terms of absolutely endless possibilities. Again, I will interject a little bit of knowledge of classical music, which I had tremendous pleasure to interject in my program today. Ludwig van Beethoven wrote 32 sonatas, and I will simplify it a little bit, but the meaning of those sonatas in a nutshell was a preparation for his symphonies. It is, of course, tremendous diminishing word for this giant heritage of this composer, especially because he was deaf at the end of his life. If one can imagine to write music with a passion, power, and being deaf, if one only can imagine the world of a person inside and the world of the person's imagination who would write the music which can be compared to the sound of the huge wilderness. It was like an emotional tornado where even musicians who played this music would tremble inside. That's how powerful that was. And imagine that this person was deaf. He was living in silence and he produced such enormously powerful music. And that was actually almost, in my very subjective, deeply personal point of view, inseparable between sound of a piano and sound of orchestra. In fact, being even more technical, a lot of pianists were trying to reproduce sound of the orchestra just using a piano. But again, coming to the sound and the silence, I like to shift into the silence for 1 second, since we heard already so much of the sound world, and we will continue hearing that. But let's remind to ourselves, what is the silence? Since I was talking about this genius composer who produced tremendous glamour and power of emotions in the highest level of expression, living in the silence. Mother Teresa expressed it very beautifully. She said, "God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon in the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls." And Beethoven probably was one of the most outstanding to deliver this quality, because indeed he knew both silence and a sound. Let's on this note reflect and hear another piece of Julian Lambert, who will bring us back to the world of sound. Well, that was certainly proof of coming back to the sound and all this rain and kaleidoscopic colors. And on this, I'd like to talk a little bit about our performance. We are worshiping some people who have courage to go on stage and perform. In fact, I like to express one thought very short and extremely clear. by Sister Elizabeth Kinney, who said it is better to be a line for a day than a sheep all your life. Well, certainly we also need to be a sheep too sometimes. In fact, sheep milk is a wonderful thing to have. In fact, the sheep cheese is much more digestible. So we do not want to say that we have something against the sheep. We love it. But coming back to courage, that's another philosophical dimension which can relate to previous subjects I was talking about. And to talk a little bit about what is classical, what is modern, and how much courage we have to continue with our own conviction. What does it take? And how much, I would say safely, how much courage we can afford to have and not to get bored with lack of it. So if I will talk about performance of any kind of a classical musician, which I referred before, it reminds me another little conversation I had with a wonderful musician who passed away. His name is Shura Cherkasky. And there was a group of us around him, and someone asked, Shura, how did you learn to play piano so well? And his answer was, you know, my mother just told me how to do it, and I was doing that. And that was it. In fact, the character of this person looked more like a grandfather who accidentally would find himself on a stage, and yet his least sonata performance probably was most memorable and most wildly free of any kind of restrictions, of any kind of modes. So are we thinking of restrictions? Are we thinking of a classical or abstract self-expression? All of this seems to be sometimes luxury dimensions in our everyday life today. I had a program with Dr. Shefali, I guess that was a couple of weeks ago, and in depth we discussed a children's and parents' relationship. And we talked about certain characteristics which been rotating around our ego, and how much truth of the realization of this ego can be negative, and how much it can sometimes even ruin relationship between parents and the children. And the reason I'm talking about this, because indeed, when performing artists entering this stage, I would cautiously say that positive ego can be equalized with courage, will equalize with this tremendous drive and uncompromising desire, not necessarily to do the best. That's a simplification. I would say even higher quality, to be herself or himself at that very moment. Because CDs we can listen every day with the same predictable performance. But the live performance, that is unrepeatable. It's to duplicate live performance is not possible, thank God to our emotions. And it is my absolute dream, as I mentioned an hour ago, to resurrect live performance, whether it's a classical music, whether it's a jazz, whether it's a Latin music, which we just heard. Or for that reason, It is all music, speaking about Duke Ellington expression. But as long as we will find this moment to resurrect, to enjoy, and to look forward to it, I think we will be in our way to genuine eternity. And whether we have one cultural beliefs or another, but to share this beautiful abstract of art and music remains to be unshakable. I would feel that this is my life mission to prove it and to energize as many souls as I can, especially young generation, to find themselves in this beautiful, endless, powerful world. On this note, I will come back to my ending with another beautiful piece of music. And when I said I will come back to the ending, I don't feel sad to come back to the ending, because if ending is beautiful, it's a beginning of the next point, next breath. In my case, it's a next program next week. On this note, I thank BBS for another wonderful support conducting this program and having, frankly, this AIR family, which all of us sharing with great, great pleasure. I wanted to thank again my composer, who is very devoted to the program, who is nourishing this show with extremely original and never, never boring piece of music, to say the least. It's a highest form of entertainment, emotions, for which I personally very thankful to Julian Lampert, join other admirers of his music. And very soon with his website, which is almost ready, you will be able to enjoy more of his compositions. And on this note, indeed, I thank you very much for listening. That was another edition of Lina Life on BBS Radio. Until next Tuesday, thank you for listening. I will leave you with this beautiful music. Goodbye.